Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Culture File Weekly in collaboration with the Louth Contemporary Music Society. Last summer, Dundalk was the scene of a historical moment in Irish traditional music when a trad supergroup formed briefly to perform one of modern music's greatest compositions, In C by the pioneering American minimalist composer Terry Riley. Riley created In C to be played by any number or combination of musicians, but this performance marks the first time he heard his music played and inhabited by Irish traditional musicians. This time on the Culture File Weekly, we've a special extended journey inside the music with that unique band of players, as well as with Terry Riley and other co-celebrants on that June 19, 2023 at St. Nicholas Church of Ireland in Dundalk. This is In C Irish.
Donal Lunny here, and we're here to talk about our performance of In C. I knew about Terry Riley. I was introduced to Terry Riley back in, I'm not ashamed to say, the 60s, by Andy Irvine, my longtime friend and fellow troubadour. And we used to knock around together, and Andy had a very interesting collection of music in which there was some Terry Riley.
Thank you.
when Eamon suggested this idea, of course, we all went off to listen to versions of it on YouTube. And it was brilliant. It was really interesting to hear how different these versions were from the different sort of ensembles who took it on, you know. Some of them were very odd. Others were just enchanting. The one by a group from Mali was really beautiful.
Alhamdulillah. Kto beninga sallallahu Muhammadu angala foka barikada. Oya esam. Fambeka sambali ambeka muna. Nongo odekai. Yeah, we call in for Ambeka Sabali, not a quarter in Ambeka Sabali. Yeah, Barzalam was there a cooking, a kilintan. Broken to say, I Ambeka Sabali, kamu nyonya koro kake du koloye ode kausa.
Kinsey is it's a collection of musical phrases which are written, which Terry wrote down. I think there are something like 53 different musical phrases which Terry wrote down, and these are taken on by the ensemble, and they're all played by everybody, but people start in, you could say, in relays, in, you know, in batches, and play the first phrase for, and you know, maybe not a specific amount of time, but maybe for about a minute or 2 minutes, somewhere in there, and then they will move on. Other people are joining in after them. So this means that there's a sort of overlap of these phrases, and they don't necessarily clash with each other. So like before, like within a minute or two, you're getting combinations that have never happened before. So there's a brilliant kind of randomness to what's happening. But having said that, there's also a movement which is in a lovely way. It's a combination which can't be predicted, but which is still can be defined as music, and that's what I loved about it. The image of a wind blowing across a field of wheat came to mind, which was, and that's just a sort of a general undulation and movement of the phrases and of the combination, which are actually all happening vaguely together, but it has a sort of a cohesion, a lovely cohesion.
As a classical musician, I would have, you know, experienced minimalist music, although I haven't played very much, but I certainly would be drawn to that kind of contemporary classical space. I'm Zoe Conway, fiddle player from County Louth. When it's done really well, can be absolutely beautiful and actually appeal to so many people. It's quite a rewarding and enriching experience being involved in that style of music, especially coming from the space where I come from, which is, you know, the traditional folk kind of genre and the busyness of that. Sometimes you can have lovely freedom and space within this genre.
There's a big sort of lots of theories about what I'm not exactly sure what minimalist music is. My name is Eamon Quinn. I'm the artistic director of Louth Contemporary Music Society. There was a group of composers in the 60s like Terry Riley and Steve Reich and Lamont Young in particular, who really pared things down into music and stretched things, and also made repetition and pulses important. So I suppose this piece in C is one of the first pieces of minimalist music as such. It's basically, there's 53 cells to be played. The notation is quite open. So you start off playing one, move to the next cell. If there's a group of musicians, they can jump to the cell above, or ones can still play behind, so it still should sound all as part of the piece, really. It's very clever. It's a simple idea, but at the same time, it's really, really clever. And it does, for me, it does illustrate some of the music that Terry was playing himself, even coming from his days as a pianist in the likes of Chet Baker's band, where there's improvisation going on. So, you know, there's quite a lot of influences there.
I think minimalism for me is about space. My name is Paddy Dlecken and I play the fiddle. I'm from Dublin. I've been playing the fiddle for over 60 years. For me, the idea of minimalism, I think it applies in so many genres of music, and particularly the music I play, which is traditional music. And unfortunately, I think the way it's packaged and played nowadays, I think the minimalist sort of element of it is being kind of eroded, for want of a better way of putting it. I'm not sure whether I'm expressing this properly or not. So, for example, I would have listened to a lot of older singers and older players. And one of the great things they had in their music was the fact that they could pare it down to something very, very basic, but very, very beautiful. And the silence was every bit as important as the note. I have to go back to 1978-79 and John Cage, who I played with in a piece called Oratorio, which is based on the text of Finnegan's Wake. So that was my first exposure to 20th century sort of minimalist music, if you like, and sort of the whole atonal thing. So that took me by surprise, but it also knocked the fear of it out of me. So in approaching the Terry Riley piece, I was kind of ready for it, and it was different because it was more of a structure than the John Cage. In the John Cage piece, it was an hour long, and you had sort of 20 minutes to contribute in the hour as you saw fit, and it was totally up to yourself how you did it. In the Terry Riley piece, you had to play the cells, but then it was how you actually played them and how you kind of felt. So sometimes I played the cells a bit longer maybe than I should have, and played other ones a little bit shorter. And It felt comfortable and felt natural for me to do that. I didn't really have any preconceived idea, or I wasn't in any way intimidated by it, other than the fact that I wanted to be able to do it as best I could.
my relationship to Terry Riley goes back to 2007 when he came to Ireland and to Louth for the first time. I've also been interested in sort of unique combinations in music and thought this piece might lend itself to performance by trad musicians. I also wanted to do it because Terry Riley's heritage is Irish. He's half Irish, half Italian, and he's very proud of his Irish heritage. So I did think this could be a really good opportunity to try and, you know, marry those two influences, really, and bring traditional musicians into it. The players were basically an elite set of Irish traditional musicians led by Zoe Conway on fiddle, Donal Lunny on bouzouki, Michelle Mulcahy harp, Louise Mulcahy flute, Mick O'Brien on pipes, Martine O'Connor on accordion, and Paddy Glacken on fiddle. I had to really take my sort of impetus from discussing things with Zoe and the musicians about what was possible. And then we made a Zoom call with Terry where, one, he made everybody feel very relaxed about it. He said, this is a piece of music to enjoy, not to stress yourselves out about. And also use the pulse if you want to use it. Don't use it if you find it unhelpful. He was also strict about, you know, moving through the different cells and also give advice about what to play in unison. He said, you know, certain cells work very well if everybody plays them together. It was either Martine or Donal suggested that they would end the piece by moving into an Irish tune and passing it around between themselves. And Terry then suggested, why don't you actually do that in the middle of the piece? So it was great. It was, you know, it was fun, and there was a great weight, I thought, dropped off everybody. And, you know, once they started playing, I remember when, you know, the harp started playing, I thought, oh my God, this thing's going to work. That's great. Because I was nervous, you know, and also the thing sold out as well. So you've also that intention, and people were asking me, you know, what tunes are they playing? And they're actually only playing one tune, you know, and it's Terry Riley's In C. And for me, it's probably the most important performance that we have ever organised.
I was maybe the conduit between the traditional world and the classical world and the printed music, the score of the piece. And you'd be surprised, but it actually fits on a half of a sheet. because it's just all, of course, the little cells which we play around with. Being the kind of trained classically musician, it was my role to kind of interpret those little cells and to make them easy for everyone to learn. So I actually took the role of learning them, first of all, recording them on the fiddle, which gave a kind of a way for all the other musicians to listen and to learn and to soak it up and to learn by ear, which is how us traditional musicians learn. It's a technique that I've often used where I'm learning a new piece of music from a sheet. I'm going to learn it as well as I can, record it, and then I listen to the recording, because that's the best way for me to learn. So this piece was no different. It took a lot of preparation, a lot of work to kind of work through all of those cells and really understand how they might knit together and, you know, to be very precise about everything. So I felt my role in the live performance, of course, I really felt like I was going to try and connect with Donal Lunny, who had the bouzouki role or the kind of repeated C role. And I really wanted to knit in with him as much as I could. And that was the basis then for all of the musicians to come on top of and have a bit more freedom.
My contribution to it was playing the bouzouki, and in fact being the pulse that that people would use as a reference, if you like. And it was in or around the BPM that Terry had suggested at the beginning, I think in the original version. And I found that quite easy to do, but what I did to, if you like, allow for sort of tonal variation was I tuned all the notes of the bouzouki, well, three of the four pairs of strings I tuned to C. So there were sort of three octaves of C, and then there was a G floating in the middle, but which I could make into a C. So the whole thing just sang C. It also, like having it like that, allowed me to introduce variations of, you know, to make it more dynamic, if you like, rather than just bing, 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 bing. I was able to open it out and to move and to bring other colours into the pulse.
Charlie Riley, my dad, is the Irish side of my family. The Ridolfis are the Italian side, my mother. My dad left Ohio during the Great Depression because there was no money to feed the children in his family, and started riding the freight trains around the United States, ending up in Colfax, California. Colfax, NC, maybe that's where I was born. My working class family background maybe led to me writing a piece like NC, which is democratic, maybe a people's piece, a poor people's piece. I don't know. Anyway, there's no conductor. There's nobody telling you what to do in NC. You have to make your own decisions, just like we do in real life. I wrote NC in 1964 on my return from Europe, having worked for a while with Chet Baker, who convinced me that live instruments could be used for a kind of looping piece, which I composed for him, called The Gift. When I returned to San Francisco, I immediately got the inspiration for NC one night while riding on the bus to my honky-tonk piano player job at the Gold Street Saloon in North Beach. I gathered a group of fellow mischief makers together to have a performance at the San Francisco Tape Music Center, my first professional debut when I was 29 years old. This was kind of the start of my career, and NC has sort of financed my livelihood for all these years. Its incredible popularity kind of astonishes me. But I'm so happy that people use it as a kind of ritual and often have yearly performances of it, or weeks running at a time, many different kinds of events.
There is definitely a connection between what Terry Riley had envisaged and what we ended up doing as traditional Irish musicians. It's very simple, it's just beautiful, and it just works. And it's very clever as well, how the cells develop and how they work together, and how you can step back a little or step forward a little or stay in one place if it feels right. And it's a really remarkable experience to actually perform it, to decide at what point will I move forward. Is it the time? No, maybe not yet. We'll just hold on it another 30 seconds. And that happens all the time in Irish music. And there's that element of, you know, reading people's minds and reading the room and feeling all together in a unit. Are we ready to move on? No, we're not ready. Okay, let's go again. Let's go round again and around again and around again. Are we ready now? Okay, yes, we'll all move, and we all move together. So it's very difficult to describe that to somebody who doesn't play music, but it's a bit like a flock of birds, and nobody knows how that works, and nobody knows how music works, but it just works, and you have to trust the process. And that was part of the beauty in it. And every time we rehearsed it, we had that amazing kind of elation of, oh my God, there was such a good bit there at bar 20. We'll have to do that again. But of course, it never happened at bar 20 again. It might have been, you know, bar 45. It's a wonderful, magical thing. And Terry Riley knew that that would happen as he was writing it. You know, that was his inspiration. So I think that's the beauty of music, and it really comes through in the playing of the piece.
I think part of it, you know, frankly, was that it was also the period of psychedelic drugs, and the fact that the psychedelic experience is one where you, a little event becomes a major event in your experience. If you take an LSD, a mosquito on the wall can become a dinosaur. Repetition, it reveals a lot of the nature of what that musical material is, because you're hearing it over and over again. You're becoming very familiar with all of its contours. So even though you're hearing the same event, it's not the same. It's changing. And that was a philosophical bomb for me. It woke me up to something that I hadn't experienced in music before. Now, that happened in music before, because all of musics from Asia and Africa and Far East have worked with this principle for centuries. They were all minimalists. They took a certain pattern, and they repeated it over and over again to build up a kind of a sense of ecstasy. And so it wasn't new for the world, but it was a little bit new for the modern, the particular niche I found myself in as a composer of modern music.
We were kind of gauging it on each cell being played about 45 seconds to a minute. But actually, when you're playing music, it's very difficult to know, like, have I been playing this for 20 seconds or a minute and 20 seconds? It's really a difficult thing to figure out when you're in the moment. So really, that was all done by feel, and by feel of by physical feel. If you're repeating one pattern, it's very tricky for the fingers. It'll be the same on all the instruments, but especially on the fiddle, for me. You'll start to notice, okay, the hand is starting to get actually physically tired. That must be quite a while now. So you might move on a little bit onto the next cell.
I'm Mick O'Brien, from Dublin, from Artane, and I play pipes. Grew up playing Irish traditional music with my family, my father and brothers. What I found is playing in the likes of In C, you're constantly reacting to what you hear around you. And I suppose it's different to a session in a way, because when you play a session, you're playing a reel or a jig, and there's a structure. You know it's going to be an A part, B part, or maybe A twice, B twice. But you know that already. And then you're reacting with whoever's playing with you. And the only thing you really need to know then is when you're going to change into the next tune. And that's a wink or a nod or a sup up or something like that, you know. But this, we were all playing different cells, so that's obviously wasn't going to work. But it was great fun, because you know, you had to, you were watching, you were listening, and then you say, oh, I think I've played this cell enough now, I might move on. And then before you move, for me anyway, I'd have to say, well, are they playing softer, louder? And I might choose the C chant or the D chant, but I had a kind of, I had an idea which chant I was using for the different cells anyway. And then you say, okay, I think now this is the time to change. And it could be what Martin has done, or what Zoe or Louise or whatever. We thought that we'd play each cell 10 times, but then you heard something and said, oh, I like that. I'll continue with what I was doing and let them move on. And then, of course, everyone did the same thing. You know, normally when you're playing a gig, but traditional music anyway, it's, you know, you play a couple of reels or a couple of jigs, stop, and you get a reaction from the audience. They clap or they're enthusiastic, and you can sense it from the audience. But I felt with this that for me, I didn't really notice the audience a huge amount, because you had your cells in front of you. You had to decide. So, am I going to keep going with this cell, or am I going to listen to what Paddy is doing, or Donald, or what Martin is doing? And I found that I was just more concentrated. I was in that zone and didn't really experience what the audience were feeling till the very end, actually, to be honest.
The cell was something like di-dom, di-dom. I'm not sure whether it was cell number
40s. It was in the 40s anyway. And I do remember listening to it at the rehearsal and thinking to myself, Lord, that is just so like a piece of music. And I just started playing along with it. And as I just started playing, it started to make perfect sense to me that it was running against this. And the piece of music I had was an old lament from a kind of a suite of tunes, which was written to commemorate a battle, the Battle of Croch na Nos in outside Kinturk and Cork. And it was a tune that was kind of written to commemorate all the different elements of what happened. But the lamentation part of it, which is called Gul na Mon Sonar, and that's called the crying of the women after the slaughter. Just the sound of it running against either of those two cells was just made perfect sense. And I started playing it. And the more I played it, it was making even more sense to me as I went along. And then, as I played it, then Mick O'Brien picked up on it. Now, he obviously knew the tune as well, and he started doing an improvisation on it as well. So we ended up with this thing sort of that just kind of took on a bit of a life of its own within the piece. So the cell was something like, die dom, die dom. So it was die dom, and then I went, die dom, die dom, die da dom, die dom. And then I took off into the tune, dum da 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 dum da dum, and I went off. So that's the sort of thing that went on, and it just it kind of worked well. And then, but you see, it was working well because everything else was happening. It was happening within something. It wasn't just the piece of music. This piece of music though had tagged itself onto something, and the other pieces had tagged itself onto to this tune as well. So it was a very very happy coming together.
This particular section, I love it, you know, because it's Paddy, and I think it actually blended so well into the whole piece at the end, and it gave it. This is bringing a bit of Irish traditional music, our own music, in a natural. To me, it sounded very naturally fitted into what you were listening to, and then the cell comes in. And Paddy is just finishing off the air underneath it, but you can hear it stitching it, sewing it together. That's the impression I got there. But it was actually in that section where it was much quieter, you could relax more, because I was just listening to Paddy beside, and then you had a little bit more time and room to feel the experience and maybe have a quick look at the audience and look over at Zoe, and you know, you had that time. It's getting a little bit hectic here now as well. But so in this case, when it gets hectic like this, you think, well, okay, you have to keep your wits about you. Don't be kind of waving to your mother in the audience or anything like that. So you have to kind of concentrate and follow Martin at this stage. You know, Martin kind of was the leader here. And so you say, okay, let Martin keep going on what he's doing, and then pick a cell that would complement what Martin is doing. And you can hear, like, there's so many different cells going on, but Martin is the main man at this section.
Some kind of a signature as Irish musicians, I thought would be nice. My name is Martin O'Connor, and I play the accordion or the box. And the very last phrase afforded the opportunity. Now, I'm not saying it was the best musical decision I've ever made or anything, but it seemed to work in the context. The title of the tune as well, Rakish Paddy, it worked just as a little signing off and dedication from us to Terry.
When we were in rehearsals, we were kind of thinking, oh, it might be nice to include a reel in towards the end of it, just to kind of honour and kind of represent our background in Irish traditional music. Like,
I'm Michelle McCahey and I played the harp on Incy.
So when we were in rehearsal, we were thinking of all the keys, and it was Martin and Paddy, said, do you know what, we'll give this a go and see what happens. And it was a perfect tune to have incorporated into the piece for us. So that was a great moment that night. It was like we were all kind of in full flight. There's an excitement there as well, I think, particularly it's a, like a heightened sense, isn't there, like at that moment.
One of the nice things about this, about listening to this, is that things come to your attention. You know, there are things that sort of peep through and you can follow them back in to the body of the sound. So one's attention keeps shifting. It's the word that keeps popping into my head is organic, and that is that it's constantly changing, constantly growing. It's either increasing or diminishing. It's never still, so it reflects a lot of what does happen in nature, which is random in the sense that it's like watching clouds drifting overhead. They're never the same, ever, ever, ever. You know, they're always changing.
We we had great fun practicing in C, because as traditional musicians, we were so drawn to kind of including these little flashes of traditional music. And at the start, we did it in a kind of a jokey way. We're like, oh, that really sounds like this tune. Listen, it has all the same notes. And then actually, after we played it, we were like, actually, that was a beautiful moment when it went into that tune. Like, we really have to try and keep that. Because I suppose that's part of the whole fun of us doing it, you know, is that we are traditional musicians and we're coming from this well of beautiful Irish tunes.
It was heartwarming to see this traditional Irish group tackle in C. And I know at the beginning they were had a bit of trepidation and worried about how to approach it. But when I heard their performance, I was very satisfied that they had found a great musical solution to the piece, all their own. And of course, it probably could have only happened in Ireland, a magical country which I'm happy to be a benefactor of. Thank you.
Can we play it again?
The voices behind the music of In C Irish. The programme was a Sounds Doable production for RTE Lyric FM, produced by Luke Clancy and Owen Brady, with additional recordings by Michael Durbin. This year's edition of the Louth Contemporary Music Society's annual New Music Jamboree takes place on the 14th and 15th of June in venues around Dundalk. The Culturefile Weekly will be back with more Soaring Hybrids next Saturday tea time, and to ensure a steady stream of cultural treats from Ireland and around the world, subscribe to the Culturefile podcast feed on your favourite podcast app.